From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. In the early 1980s, the band Swans were making choppy, abrasive, and experimental music. Their industrial blast of sound came from the early 80s New York City no-wave movement. Swans survived and thrived until the late 90s, and then they stopped. Bandleader Michael Gira began recording as the Angels of Light. Now, nearly 14 years later, Swans are back. Less reunion, more resurrection, with new music. This song from the new record called My Father Will Guide Me Up a Rope to the Sky is called My Birth. Swans from a new record called My Father Will Guide Me Up a Rope to the Sky. The song we played was My Birth, and some of those lyrics were written in the final days of Swans back in 1996. I fall in love with maybe two, maybe three jazz records a year. I don't want to hear one more jazz standard reimagined. I'm not inspired by free jazz much anymore, and the loungy stuff gets on my nerves. And I'm not dismissing an entire genre, just saying that these days, it's not for me. But every once in a while, something comes along and perks me up. Today, I have two jazzy records for you. The first is Bee vs. Moth. They describe themselves as a multiple-genre weirdo instrumental rock band from Austin, Texas. I think they're that for sure, and a lot more. I hear the sounds of Ornette Coleman and the band Television, and sometimes in the same song. This one from Bee vs. Moth is called Tuesday in Tuskegee.
Thank you.
Bee vs. Moth, a band from Austin, Texas. Their album is called Acronyms. You probably know about our First Listen series. NPR Music lets you stream select albums online a week or so before release. Sometimes they're highly anticipated records, like the Sufjan Stevens record that's online now. Sometimes it's a complete unknown, and it winds up in the First Listen series because someone here at NPR wants to share their love of this record with you. Well, this week, Lars Gotrich, producer here at NPR Music, picked Mary Halverson. Lars is here with me now to introduce this music. This is good jazzy guitar music, Lars.
Yeah, she's just a fantastic musician. And this is her second album. It's called Saturn Sings. I still have a hard time describing exactly what makes her technique so unique. She uses a lot of clustered chords and...
Stuff doesn't quite go where it's expected from me, but it doesn't feel... awkward, and it doesn't feel different for difference sake.
You can always kind of follow the line, even though it's an abstract line.
Yeah.
The song that you're going to play, Sea Seizure, it's a trio recording. So this is mostly a quintet recording. So it includes guitar, bass, drums, saxophone, and trumpet. But this is just the trio without the brass. This particular song, I think you're attracted to it because it's got a little bit of prog to it.
I think you're right. Well, let's listen to Mary Halverson and the song Sea Seizures. Thanks, Lars.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That was Mary Halverson. A record's called Saturn Sings. The song is called Sea Seizure. So far we've had on the show the Swans, Bee Versus Moth, a song called Sea Seizures, and that Lars played for us. So we're working on this weird accidental theme, and Robin Hilton's here. And what are you going to do for us, Robin?
Well, a couple of years ago, it seemed like every band had either the word black or wolf in the title. And this year, I'm finding lots of bands that have bees in the title. And when you told me that you were playing Bee Versus Moth on the show, I immediately thought of another band out right now called Sea of Bees. And I did a little digging around through my iTunes, and I found a band of bees, Bee Versus Moth, The Bird and the Bee, Sea of Bees. And Sea of Bees, out of all of those, is probably my favorite in the bunch.
Musically speaking,
yes.
You know anything about them?
Sea of Bees is essentially one woman. Her name is Julie Ann Bee. Her last name is Bee.
Seriously?
And she's from Sacramento, California. And if I had to sum her up in a sentence, I'd say she's sort of a female sparkle horse. Her music is rooted very much in folk and rock, but wildly experimental, some crazy, beautiful, wonderful sounds on her new album called Songs for the Ravens, which we're going to hear a cut from.
You actually turned me on to this, and I actually like it.
Yeah, the album came out about four to 6 weeks ago or so, not too long ago, but it'll probably end up on my top 10 for the end of the year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. Let's hear it.
From Sea of Bees and Songs for the Ravens, this song is called Willis.
Good. Should I have recorded this?
Yes. I certainly hope so.
So right.
That was Sea of Bees. The record's called Songs for the Ravens, and we just heard the tune Willis. Robin Hilton's here playing Sea of Bees for us. So listen, we've got this kind of animal thing going still. Can you hold up? And you got anything like aquatic?
How about the terrapin?
The terrapin's a winner.
Terrapin, this is a song that Syd Barrett, of course, the guy who started the band Pink Floyd back in the mid-1960s. He's been dead for a few years now. He died in 2006. He was 60 years old. And he was just such a curious artist. I think there's always going to be interest in him and his music and his story. But there seems to be a little bit of a resurgence in that interest right now. There's a book coming out this fall, a biography about him called A Very Irregular Head.
I want to read
which
this.
I love that title, yeah. A Very Irregular Head, The Life of Syd Barrett. It's by Rob Chapman. And around the same time the book comes out, there's a new collection of Syd Barrett songs called An Introduction to Syd Barrett that has some of his best songs all compiled. They've been remixed, remastered, and they sound amazing.
Now, these are songs that were on the early Pink Floyd records, and then he sort of got kind of, he's not in the band anymore.
Right, anyway, yeah, shortly after starting the band, they put out a couple of albums, and he became increasingly, I'll say,
a bit off his rocker.
Yeah, a little bit off, and the band more or less pushed him out, I guess. They hired David Gilmour, the guitarist, to sort of back him up during their live performances, because frequently I've read that Syd Barrett would go to the shows and he'd just stand there mutely on stage strumming the same chord over and over again through the entire song. Or he'd give interviews and he'd just sit there mutely through the entire interviews.
But then he did these solo records, which is
right.
Also on this Introduction of Syd Barrett.
Right.
So you get the Pink Floyd songs, then you get the solo. And I remember hearing that stuff when it came out. Was the first one like 70? I can't remember.
1970. They both came out. One came out in early 1970, and another one came out at the end of 1970. And then that was sort of it from Syd. He did a little bit of more work for maybe until 1974 but didn't really produce anything in that time. And then he retreated to his mother's home in England. And
inspired Pink Floyd in his own way of just his existence of writing, records.
Right. The 1975 Pink Floyd album, Wish You Were Here, was a tribute to Syd Barrett. And he actually showed up in the studio when they were recording that. So I guess his presence was definitely felt there.
But the weirdness of the madcap
right.
laughs and the... Boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
Singing way off pitch, and they left lots of the mistakes were part of the record. Very, you didn't expect that in 1970. That was really, what is going on here?
When I first heard Madcap Laughs, however many years ago, I thought, oh, this must be a special edition with outtakes and demos. But it wasn't. That was the record.
He was an outtake.
Yeah. Well, the song we're going to hear is Terrapin, which was the opening cut to Madcap Laughs. And David Gilmour was the executive producer for this collection.
Let's listen to Terrapin.
I really love you, and I mean you. The star above you, crystal blue. Well, oh baby, my head's on end about you. Okay. I wouldn't see you, and I love to. I fly above you, yes I do. Well, oh baby, my hair's on end about you. Thumping, bumping, noses dodge a tooth, the fins are luminous. Fangs all round the clown is dark below, the pole is hiding all the sunlight's good for us. Cause we're the fishes and all we do, a move about is all we do. Well, oh, baby. tooth, the fins are luminous. Bangle round the clam is dark below, the bowl is hiding all the sunlight's good for us. Cause we're the fishes and all we do, the move about is all we do. Well, oh baby, my hair's on and about you.
Really great to hear that again. Thanks, Robin, for bringing that in. That's Syd Barrett. 18 songs, an introduction to Syd Barrett comes out.
Comes out November 9th.
Great. And the book?
The book is also out in early November. I don't have an exact date on it, but...
I don't read many of these books, but that's one. Yeah. He's such a curious soul.
Yeah, really is.
We have concerts coming up?
We've got two concerts coming up in October that we're really excited about. The first one is on October 3rd, a Sunday. It's Tallest Man on Earth with S. Carey, Sean Carey, who, both artists we featured before on the show. And then
Sean Carey, people know from Bon Iver.
Right, the drummer for Bon Iver, and who's got his own solo album out right now that's wonderful. And then on October 12th, Deer Hunter, a band we've wanted to do before, but haven't featured in a full concert before on the show.
That's great. And we have a first listen that you chose. Sufjan Stevens is up.
Sufjan Stevens, Age of Ads. Yeah, really am loving that album. And we've got the full album up online right now for you to hear until it comes out in a couple weeks.
And a blog post about people you might listen to 40 years from now. So if you can think of an artist making music today, that 40 years from now you might still be listening to their music or maybe making.
Right.
Yeah, interesting music in 40 years, in 2050. Who might that be? So go to the blog, the All Songs Considered blog. Have you heard the Land of Talk record?
I haven't. I saw that come in, and, you know, we always get captivated by the artwork first with albums we end up loving, and that was one that came in. I thought, I've got to listen to that. And I haven't gotten to it yet. How is it?
I love it. I saw them at South by Southwest the first year we went there, and I love their live show. Elizabeth Powell is the singer of that band, highly energetic pop band. She had this throat polyp thing, and it kind of put her off from singing for a long time, and during that time she wrote new music. And the record just came out in August, and I just completely overlooked listening to it until this week. And her voice is better than ever. She seems much more relaxed in her singing style, not so aggressive. The music is a little toned back, too. It doesn't compete so much with her voice. Mm. I just love this record. It reminded me, and I don't like often making comparisons because they don't often do justice, but just to put it in the ballpark, when I had it on randomly the other day, I thought, St. Vincent? Mm. No, couldn't be. And it was Land of Talk. But there's something very poppy, really bubbly, and edgy about what they do. And it's a trio. She's the guitar player and the singer, but the drummer and bass player are absolutely extraordinary, too. The record, Land of Talk, is called Cloak and Cipher. We'll go out on the title track.
Great. Looking forward to hearing it.
Good.
Oh, my God.
I like that.
I'm Bob Boylan.
I'm Robin Hilton.
For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.
Make my day. Now are you love it last so?